This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast.
And here we go, here we go.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
We have the latest on KU recruiting, analysis, and what the coaches and players are saying behind the scenes. Here are your hosts, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. And this is an all Kansas football episode. It's going to be all gridiron all the time. We have tons of news and plenty of recruiting scoop to get caught up on, and a KU football staff that has been absolutely on fire from the recruiting trail. I'm not going to waste any time. I'm bringing in the publisher of Jayhawk Slant and the man on the Kansas football beat, my buddy John Kirby. John, I hope you didn't have any plans this summer because, and I think we're going to be getting commitment updates every couple hours at this rate.
Hey, it feels like it, doesn't it? You know, it's funny you say plans for the summer because my wife and my youngest son are headed to the lake with friends. And what am I doing? I'm sitting right back here in the Jayhawk Slant studios waiting for recruiting news.
So what you're saying is she had plans. They just didn't include you.
That's right. Well, she, you know, back in the day, Randy, I even asked Leipold this at his press conference the other day. You know, June used to be a vacation month for football coaches. It really did. I mean, I remember when Mangino, even the Weiss era, Beatty era, they'd have a couple camps in June and they were gone. I mean, the coaches got 2 weeks of vacation in June. They got most of July off, and it gave them a chance to recharge their batteries. But now June is crazier than December. You know, December used to be the really busy month for recruiting. Well, now that's June, and it's between all the camps they're doing and all the official visits and players reporting back to campus first week of June. It is absolutely nuts. So, yeah, man, it's I told my wife, you know, June's about recruiting anymore. So how about you? You got any plans this summer?
You know, it's funny you ask. We're actually in the middle of we're gearing up to move across town, and there is nothing worse than moving.
No, that's no vacation.
No, it is not. And it's like every minute that you're not at work or working, you're packing boxes, packing stuff up. It's brutal. It's brutal. But yeah, that's my summer quote vacation for you. I'm telling. Ugh.
Well, if I do something, I might the sun may end up hitting a couple pole vault events or something like that. So that might be extent of getting away this summer.
You know, hey, it's I'm glad you mentioned that. I heard he got hurt. How's he doing?
Yeah. He got he was banged up pretty much his whole senior year. You know, he was the defending state champion in the pole vault, and you know, he ran the 100, the 200, some 4x1, that stuff. But he had pretty bad tendonitis. We went over and saw Barnhouse, who used to be the Chiefs doctor, and he's really good with the knees, and went through all that, and he fought through the tendonitis, and then 2 days before regionals, Randy, he sprains his ankle, and it's bad. Oh. So the ankle and the knee are both his takeoff foot, which is where you've got to, you know, go up and pole vault. And trust me, I'm still learning about pole vault. It's a whole different ball game. But anyways, he kind of battled through that. We thought a season was over, and somehow he literally limped down the runway and got out of regionals, and then he just stayed off his you know, he stayed off his ankle for the next 8 days, made it to state, and ended up losing to a really good pole vaulter, another kid who will have a good college career out of Gardner. He lost in a jump off, which is like overtime, right? It's down to two guys. And so, but he was cool with it. He knew he was probably about 60-65%. And so he's taking some time resting, and he's getting ready to report, you know, go through workouts and then report to KU and join that pole vault program, which, you know, it kind of gives me a quick second, Randy, for the old shameless plug for KU track, because I'll be honest with you, I've always followed KU sports, you know, all of them. I've followed, but it's from a distance, right? You know, we always follow football, we always follow basketball, and then you always keep your eye on everything else. You know, I try to follow baseball pretty hard. But I started to get into the track when Andrew started having the conversations with the track coaches and Tom Hayes, yeah, the pole vault coach there. You know, there's probably a lot of KU people that listen to this. I know on our last podcast we had 2,000 downloads. So, you know, KU fans ought to really seriously pay attention to track, man. They got it's a good program. You know, the pole vault program that Tom Hayes runs, I mean, most consider it, it's the top pole vault program in the nation. So it'll be a good learning experience for him. Yeah. You know, he's kind of been around here, he's been walking around like the big dog, you know, the last couple years around here. And you know, he's going to go to KU and probably start out bottom of the barrel. So that'll be good for him to learn and have to work up. So yeah, he's looking forward to it.
There's nothing that humbles a kid like their freshman year.
Oh yeah, you know? Well, and there are some talented pole vaulters, and that coach Hayes does an amazing job, and Redwine does a great job with that track program. When we went on that official visit, my eyes were opened up, just kind of, you know, all the things those guys get and how well it's run. So, and speaking of vacations, how about our boy Shay? I mean, he's out in Colorado, just incognito. He's just gone AWOL on us.
It's a rough life, clearly. I mean, yeah, Shay's just off doing his own thing. We're like, hey, podcast. He's like, hey, you know, you guys, good luck. Have a good one.
Hey, I'll give Shay credit though, man. He did. He busted it out during the portal season. I mean, that was he got a taste of what I went through, have been going through in the football portal, because, you know, Self was in the portal quite a bit. So Shay was definitely putting in those long hours. So well deserved time away for Shay.
No doubt. You know, Kirby, the last few days have just been an absolute whirlwind. Let's just get started. I'm going to open the floor up for you. I want you to tell us everything you can about the latest additions to this recruiting class.
Yeah, you know, hey, Randy, I'm going to start with, you know, the most recent commit and what probably many consider the biggest to this point. I mean, in terms of rankings and on paper, Jalen Todd, 4-star corner out of Southfield A&T. You know, it's interesting because his teammate is Isaiah Marshall, who's a quarterback. Well, I think he's ranked the 10th best dual threat quarterback in the nation. So he came in with Isaiah. They came in on the visit together. Chris Simpson's done an amazing job with those guys in Detroit and building that pipeline there. And hey, listen, he was a big surprise. I mean, I would have probably lost some money. I would have lost rent money for sure if you'd asked me if Todd was going to commit within 48 hours after his visit. Harry Stewart, who we'll hear from a little later, mm-hmm. You know, running back out of Texas, love his speed and ability, catch the ball. Some lot of signs, I thought, of similarities of Devin Neal, because I remember watching Devin Neal. And when Rampy was coaching him at Lawrence, I remember he told me, he said, hey, I think Devin Neal could be a D1 receiver. Well, when you watch Stewart, they do a lot of motion and they do a lot of stuff in the backfield with him to get him the ball. There's some plays on film where he actually splits out wide like a wide receiver. So, you know, he's a very talented guy. Austin Alexander, a corner out of Marion Catholic in Illinois. You know, another surprise because he had 3 Big Ten visits set up after KU. This is a kid from Big Ten country, and you just thought that, you know, he was definitely going to take at least a couple of those visits, but he canceled them all and committed. There's Harrison Utley, the first offensive lineman on the board. I think they're going to go after mm-hmm. 3 high school O-linemen total. So, you know, he was a big one. You got to get the first one down, and he was the guy that Fuchs wanted. He came in the first weekend and committed on the visit. And then Ja'Cory Stewart, linebacker out of Georgia, athletic. Again, he was the first linebacker they had in on the board that they wanted, and they got him. So, you know, Randy, they're getting guys that they want, and not only that, they're getting guys with some pretty impressive offer sheets.
I think the best, you said it, they're getting guys. I mean, these are legit guys that they're getting. I mean, there are some dudes coming in this class right now, and obviously, I mean, you know, we always say there's a lot that can happen between now and signing day, but we have every reason to believe that this staff is going to be able to hold on to these guys because they haven't shown otherwise to us. You know, I saw where the latest rankings for this class, Kirby, has KU at number 39 and number 3 in the Big 12 conference. What are your thoughts on this class? You know, we're halfway through June. I don't feel like asking you if you're surprised is a good question. I mean, how surprised are you at where they are at this point, John.
Yeah, you know, Randy, I would say there is some surprise, and I'm not surprised that they're having success. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised in the way that they're doing it. You know, I Jalen Todd, when his visit ended, I talked to some people that were close to him that knew the recruiting. They said, "Oh, he'll absolutely take the trip to Iowa." I mean, Iowa's been a mainstay with him. A lot of people thought Iowa might be the leader, and
yeah,
he's definitely taking this visit. So just things like that. We just talked about Alexander. You know, this is a Big Ten kid, you know, lives in Big Ten territory. He cancels all three visits after one visit and commits to KU. So it's just kind of the way that they're doing it. And the kids that they're on are highly recruited. They're off to a great start. I mean, you're at 10 commits. I mean, they're already well past halfway home to closing out the high school class. I mean, this thing, if everything goes right by the end of June, they could be done with high school recruiting. You know, I talked about how these guys are highly recruited. I look back to last year, Randy, okay, and I think a lot of this traces back to last season when ESPN Game Day is in Lawrence.
Yes. Yep.
Lance Leipold's picture, and he's the talk of the town. People got him as the midway coach of the year, and you know, he's on lists, and people are talking about Jalen Daniels, and they're talking about, you know, sold-out stadiums. And I think that publicity, I mean, it helps. I mean, look at where KU was at this time last year. They didn't have a commitment going into the month of June. I mean, so after 2 weeks, they're sitting at well over half of where they were last year. When you look at the class so far, I love the corners. Okay, we just talked about that. Hey, let's not forget Andre Gibson too. I mean, out of Arizona, he's one of the three corners committed. You know, these guys commit early, and we kind of forget about him because we all start talking about the latest news, what's happened lately. But Andre Gibson's a heck of a corner.
Next guy up.
Absolutely. No, hey, it's always the last guy that committed's the coolest one, right? I mean,
yes.
I like the running back class. Red Martell, Harry Stewart. I mean, those are two really good running backs that they're going to bring in that class. So the linebackers, Jonathan Kamara and Ja'Cory Stewart, go watch these guys film. They're almost like big safeties or nickels who are going to put on weight and play linebacker. And these guys are athletic. So I love the start of this class. There's no way anybody could have scripted it any better.
No question. I totally agree with you on that. And, you know, you mentioned Harry Stewart in that running back group of guys that are committed. You had a chance to already talk with him, and we've got some audio right now. Give fans a chance to hear from the latest running back commit for the Kansas Jayhawks.
We are joined by Harry Stewart, one of the top 50 running backs in the nation from Centennial High. Harry, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man.
Well, good. Hey, listen, how's it feel not to have all the phone calls coming in and text messages from college coaches? Are you enjoying your time more?
Oh yeah, for sure. I feel like I get more time to focus on the season. You know, I know where I'm going, and then, you know, just get the grind and focus on the goals. So it was great.
All right. So first off, let's talk about your decision to pick the Jayhawks. When it came down to it, how did you know that was a school for you?
I feel like just the prioritization and their scheme that they use, I feel like it fits what I do and my skills, and using me outside the backfield also. So I feel like out of the relationships I've made, I feel like Jayhawks want to be the most. They want to develop me and want me to be a playmaker for the program. And, you know, I definitely I love the season and I love the culture over there. So,
all right, when you came on your official visit, I know you you talked about Devin Neal and being around some of the guys, but what were some of the things that stood out to you?
I'd say just overall, like, you know, no one were boastful or, you know, try to, they're all very welcome, you know, great people. They're all humble, and, you know, they gave me advice over this whole process and saying, you know, put your head down, grind, and listen to the hype, you know, because at the end of the day, it's you versus you, so. But definitely a great group of guys, just the overall culture and the people they are. You know, I love that about them. So
I want to bring back up Devin Neal. I think I told you this, and I wrote this on our board. You reminded me watching his film because, you know, he went out and he lined up in the slot and he, you know, they got him the ball in space and he wasn't just a running back. And I saw you do some of those. I saw you do some kick return and stuff, but you know, what was it like hanging around with Devin? What did he tell you about the program? You know, he's a local guy. And what did he tell you about it? What it's like being around Coach Leipold and the coaches and everything?
He pretty much told me, you know, with his time at Kansas so far, you know, it's been great for him. You know, they've been utilizing him and, you know, he even told me, you know, he played early. And he just said he put the head down, he grinded. And, you know, he feels like he loves the culture over there and the vision that Kansas has for the future. You know, they want to change things around. And, you know, he told me, man, this is a great place. And then overall, he's really had no problems. So, yeah.
All right, Jonathan Wallace was the recruiter. He was one that sold you on Kansas, your position coach. Just talk about the job he did and the relationship you guys have.
I say, you know, we're very close for sure. You know, throughout the first time I met him, you know, we had a deep conversation over football, but also him getting to know me. You know, we talk about football a good amount, but, you know, him getting to know, you know, my mom, my family, I feel like he prioritized me. He showed that he wanted me, and you know, he said anything he wants to talk about, or felt like he's a person I could talk to about anything. And you know, he did a great job of getting to know me, and you know, utilizing and prioritizing me every step of the process. So,
well, Harry, we appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on committing to the Jayhawks. I know the fans were excited, and definitely look forward to talking to you again in the future.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot, John. Give me two recruits that you are surprised with, or maybe a better way of putting it, that you didn't expect would be committed at this point.
Well, I definitely feel like a broken record. I'm going to say two corners, and that's Jalen Todd and Austin Alexander. I mean, Jalen Todd, you know what was crazy too, is he went back for a couple nights. And usually when that happens, Randy, he's going to take his visit, okay? I know some people are starting the visits. I know KU brought a lot of the guys in Thursday because they wanted to get him out Saturday so they can enjoy Father's Day, okay? Or those recruits can get back home Saturday and be with their families on Sunday. So, I mean, Jalen Todd, I was – once Tuesday night went by, you're like, okay – He's absolutely taken the Iowa visit, and then maybe something after that. And then Wednesday morning, I put the forecast prediction in. I mean, then things started circulating Wednesday morning that this could happen. And I mean, it was, I've done this 24 years, and I'm just telling you, that one is probably one of the biggest surprises to me. Not that they got him. I think they could have gotten him down the road. I don't know if I'd have bet any money on that, but it's the way that they got him that we talked about. And then Austin Alexander, another one that I just felt that there's no way that he's going to cancel, especially the in-state Fighting Illini. That's the big one. I mean, he called Illinois and said, I'm not coming on the visit. I'm committing to Kansas. I mean, you know, listen, Kansas plays Illinois week two. Okay. I mean, that is a good football program. Brett Bielema's got him going. He's an in-state kid. And KU went right in there and took him. And hey, you know, we've talked a lot about Jordan Peterson and the recruiting he's done with the corners. You know, a little credit to like Jim Zabrowski, because that's his area. And he kind of got things started a little bit from there. So, you know, those are two guys definitely that I would say.
Awesome. You know, this staff isn't done, and the next two weekends still have some real action potentially going on. Let's focus on this weekend. Who are the official visitors that you're watching here as we're into the lead up to Father's Day?
Well, the first one that I'm going to throw out, Randy, is Nick Marsh. He's a four-star receiver, one of the top receivers in the nation. He's out of Michigan. Listen, 3 weeks ago, and I'm sure I've put this out there, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to back away from it. I said Nick Marsh will be a tough get, he still may
you
be.
You said
a tough
that
get.
From the beginning. You
he,
said that,
and he may be a tough get. All right, I mean, but you know, and hey, I don't know if this is some confidence on the Kansas fans or not, but I saw on the Future Cast that KU has now slightly pulled ahead of Penn State for the fans predicting Nick Marsh to Kansas. Now I saw
how crazy is that?
I know. Now, well, it just shows you that the Kansas fans are operating with a little bit of confidence right now.
No doubt.
I saw three of the publishers still have their votes for Penn State. But Randy, the bottom line is this. I sat here and say 3 weeks ago, Nick Marsh, long shot. And he still may be a tough get. But after what we've seen happen in the last 3 or 4 days, now you're starting to say, don't count this staff out. Don't count out Chris Simpson, okay? That Michigan connection. Nick Marsh, he plays with Isaiah Marshall in the summertime. So he's seeing this. He knows what's going on. I get it. You know, Penn State's Penn State. But, you know, Kansas has a fighting chance. Marsh got on campus today. So, and we're doing this podcast on Thursday night. So by the time people hear this, it will be Friday, but he arrived on Thursday and, you know, the word is he's going to visit Michigan State next weekend. But I mean, this thing could be a Penn State versus KU deal right now, which is, it's nuts that I'm saying that. Another four star guy on campus, Damani Maxson. He's a safety out of Clear Lake, Texas. And I have forecasted him to KU. I've made the prediction. I feel good about it. I made the prediction a few weeks ago. I'm still hanging in there with it. You know, he had early offers from Georgia, LSU, Oklahoma, and a bunch of schools that I can't even remember. I just know that he had a lot of early offers, and Jonathan Wallace and Borland have done a nice job with him. Rodney Bimage, a cornerback out of Dickinson, Texas, another kid who is extremely talented. He's at corner. You know, corner's kind of in a numbers game right now, but, you know, we'll see if the staff can be creative and find a way and just see how that plays out. And then Randy, I'm going to turn my attention to the offensive line because I think they're going to take three total. And it's hard to read what's going on there right now. David Abajian from California is coming in, and he's already visited Oregon State and Cal. Okay. Now, he's a California kid, and he's already visited two schools on the West Coast. So you're thinking, okay, is it going to be hard to pull him away from the Pac-12 schools? Well, he was on campus in April. Now he's coming back for an official visit. And I got to tell you, just my intuition tells me, if he was sold on staying on the West Coast, I don't think he'd be coming back for this official visit.
Okay? Oh, no question.
I don't think he'd waste the time with it after being here 2 months ago. So I really think they're in the mix with him. And then Kene Anene, offensive lineman from Minnesota. Again, Zabrowski recruits that area, got on him. Then Fuchs took over, went up, saw him at the school, watched him work out, and then just saw him at a camp here recently and loved what he saw, and he offered. And, you know, Randy, I know, you know, he doesn't have a lot of glitzy offers. I want to say it was Colorado State, Air Force, North Dakota State, okay? But, you know, when you look at what Fuchs has done, boy, he just kind of meshes units together and plugs and plays with some guys and cross trains them all so they can play different positions. So I don't get that, you know, bent out of shape when it comes to offensive line recruiting, because I have a feeling that, you know, Scott Fuchs is going to find guys that he likes, that he thinks down the road he's going to be able to put in a system, and he recruits a lot of guys like Harrison Utley. I think Harrison Utley could be a right tackle. I think it could be a right guard.
Yeah.
I think it could be a center. I mean, so, you know, Fuchs takes these guys that are all kind of in that 6'4-ish, 285, 290 mold that can do a lot of different things. So, you know, those are the O-linemen that I'm following. And then the next spot is defensive line. And again, I think they're going to take two high school DNs and one D tackle. So you've got Charles Anderson, who's in from Texas this week. He's already visited Northwestern. He's going to take some visits. So he's going to be tough to read. I just don't see him doing like some of these other guys and surprising everybody. I think he's going to take his visits. Elias Williams is a defensive end from Florida. He got in on Wednesday, so he'll be leaving Friday. And then he's flying right to Indiana from KU, and then he's going to go to Missouri next week. And when I talked to him, I definitely got the sense he's taking his visits. But I've said that about other guys too. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am on this one. And then probably the biggest one, maybe, of all those guys that Kansas is in the mix with, again, somebody that people didn't think they would be after last week, is Xavier Porter, a defensive lineman from Florida. Jim Panagos has been recruiting him. He visited Louisville and then Penn State. And hey, I told everybody, if he visits Kansas, they're in the mix. Because if he gets out of Penn State and he doesn't commit, now, again, we don't know behind the scenes how hard is Penn State recruiting him, or
yeah.
Do they have somebody else in mind? Are they going to come back on him? Who knows? But the fact is that kid was visiting Penn State on an official visit at this time last week, and he arrived on campus Thursday at KU. So they are absolutely in the mix with him. Boy, there's somebody I'm missing. Oh, God, Carson Brunn. See, again, the kid that commits early, we forget about, right? I mean, they were taking one tight end in this class, and they took Carson Brunn. So he's in this weekend. It's always nice to have a guy like him. He chose KU over Kansas State and Minnesota, and it's always nice to have him in on the visit to help sell some of these recruits. Hey, this is why I chose Kansas. Or, you know, if there's a question, you know, it's always nice to have a committed guy in. So Carson Brunn's the other guy on the visit, but you just hope everything goes good with him and keep him locked up.
John, as we start, and this is, God, it sounds so crazy to be saying this on June 15th, June 16th, as we start talking about finishing touches on this recruiting class, it feels weird saying it, let alone sounds weird. Where are some key positions that you're watching closely with this staff and maybe things that could happen?
Yeah, you know, I just touched on, Randy, the offensive line and the defensive line. Those are kind of the areas where there's some work to do, all right? And I don't have a problem with these guys if they can wrap up a lot of the targets they're on and you get out of June, because now you get into July and July is a dead month. All right. And then you get into August and it's hard getting kids on campus because they're going through their fall camps and KU's going through their fall camp. And, you know, you might have a visitor or two here pop in, and then the season start in the beginning of September into August there. And so if you can get it down to just a target or two that you're looking at, it's much easier. Right. So if you're Fuchs and you're just looking for one offensive lineman, let's say you have 4-5 months now to watch film and go after one kid as opposed to three. So, you know, the offensive line, there's still a little bit of work to do, but he'll figure it out. He always does. And then DN, D-line, D-tackle, I think they're going to two DNs, one inside guy. And again, if they could wrap up one or two guys here in June to where you're only going after one or two guys down the road, then I have no problem with that. I don't think you need to be in this mad dash to get this thing done and just like go get guys to say you're done. If you can get a guy or two to fill your key needs, somebody's going to pop up on the radar in October, November, December. They always do.
I totally agree. I almost feel like what they can do is, I know some people say, well, if you're waiting late, then you're picking from what's left over. I don't think that this Kansas program is in that position. I think that it's a little bit different now, given what happened last year, given what this staff is able to sell right now. I think that, you know, talking about offensive line or even defensive line, they can take their time, find exactly what they want.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Randy. I thought you were done there. But let me tell you something else that a lot of people haven't been talking about. And we're going to see, I promise you, we're going to see the impact of this. On July 1st, the NCAA put in a new rule that allows recruits to take unlimited official visits. Okay.
But they capped how many schools can use.
Yeah. Well, that's that. Trust me. Well, that's going to get fixed. Once Nick Saban and all these other guys start complaining about they running out of official visits, trust me, they'll get that changed. Yeah. They changed the rule. So schools still are stuck on 57 official visits, but now recruits can take unlimited visits. So you're going to have schools running out of visits. I promise you there's going to be schools using up 40, 45 visits this June. Okay. And that counts the portal, Randy, too. Remember, that's just not high school kids. That also counts the portal that those visits come off of. And it doesn't reset until next April 1. So, I mean, you've got to be smart on your visits. But my point is that recruiting, as we see now, you see all these kids who are committed. Remember, once their high school seasons are over, if these guys want to start going out and taking three or four more visits, they can do it now. Whereas in the old day, before this rule started, you knew how many visits a kid had left, right? Well, now you don't. So I think this is going to be a learning curve. This is going to be a new experience for college coaches come this fall after this season's over. I think you're going to see a lot of kids start firing up their visits again.
You know, John, I want you to touch on something that has been a hot topic on the board, and that's scholarship numbers. You were talking about the numbers of official visits. Let's talk about how many scholarships are available. You tried to explain how it works, and I think sometimes it gets lost in translation just trying to type out the words. Now that people can hear exactly what you're saying and what you mean, kind of go through that. Explain it.
Yeah, well, Randy, most good staffs, okay, and Leipold and all that inside staff they have there, they're good. They're meticulous. They're organized. They're detailed. They're structured. And you find that on a lot of good programs, okay?
Yeah.
But here's what everybody does. They have a scholarship board, all right? And they say, in our program, we have X amount of offensive linemen on scholarship. We have X amount of linebackers on scholarship. Because you have to have a balanced roster, okay? You can't just have a free-for-all. Just because you can go out and sign five stud corners, sorry, it doesn't work like that. You don't get to go do that. You might be able to go sign four really good running backs, but that's not how it works.
You've got roster management almost like they have in the NFL.
Absolutely. And what you might have, Randy, you might have one college program that says we keep five scholarship running backs on our roster. Mm-hmm. And another one may say we keep six, okay? But they don't vary a whole lot. And one thing that I've learned with this staff is they stay true to their numbers, okay? Now, in a tight situation, in an emergency situation, they could vary one here or one there, but they don't do it very often, okay? You also have to remember this. You still have to practice, okay? So you've got to have enough offensive linemen to practice, and I know there's still preferred walk-ons and things like that, but when people set their roster limits and their scholarships, they then look at the recruiting and say, okay, we're going to lose this many guys. This is how many spots you have to give. This is how many spots you get till we get back to where our roster is where we want it. So I don't think people understand. You just don't have free money out there to go get as many guys as you can. Sometimes you got to say, hey, listen, you've got your corners. I know you can get more, but this is, you're done. Okay. And that's what they're doing in certain positions. They fill up and they're not taken anymore. So listen, Ja'Cory Stewart committed at linebacker. I mean, they canceled a couple linebackers, all right? Harry Stewart committed at running back. They called a few running backs and said, you're not coming in. We're canceling your visits. We're done at running back. So most of the time, you will always see them stick to it. Every now and then, you won't. It's a lot more that they will stick to it than they won't. But people need to understand, you know, it's just not a big free-for-all out there to where you just go get whatever you want, whenever you want. I mean, listen, these guys have shown people they know what they're doing, okay? They're detailed, they have a plan, and they know where they're going, they know what they're doing. And when some kid ends up not getting a scholarship or getting dropped, there's a reason. I know sometimes the fans just don't understand that, but hey, at one time I didn't either until I've heard enough, you know, director of football operations tell me, hey, this is how it works. Okay. This is how it goes down. And I'm like, okay, I get it. So I kind of think more like guys on the inside now than I do guys on the outside. So I totally understand where it all comes from.
I really think, you know, people talk about how different aspects of football, you know, have permeated throughout the game. You know, the spread offense, it started at the high school level in Texas, and then it became a phenomenon at the college level. And now you see the Chiefs running spread elements, you know, sometimes on every single series, if not every snap. And I think what we're seeing is, you know, I alluded to it earlier, the idea of roster management from the professional sports level, from the NFL level, saying we have this many spots available for this position. This is what we're sticking with. This is how many guys are going to be in that room. I really believe that is what has come to the college game. And this is going to be part of life going forward. It's the way it's absolutely going to be. And I think that the teams that have adapted to it the quickest are they have a decided advantage over programs that don't. And I think that's, I really think that's kind of one of the things that people haven't talked about when they try to explain how has Lance Leipold and his staff been able to turn the direction of this program so quickly. It's because they understand roster management and committed to it from the very beginning.
Well, he's detailed. And
yes.
You know, Rob Ionello and Grant Murray and all the guys on the inside that mm-hmm. have a big part of that, okay? They all understand. They're all on the same page. When Leipold came from Buffalo now, it was the same stuff, okay? It's not something that just got created last week, all right? This is something that's been in their plan and how they've done things and what's made them successful.
Agree. All right, John, there is no better way that we can wrap up this edition of the Inside Slant podcast than hearing another interview from another high-profile commit. We're going to hear right now from Jalen Todd on why he committed to Lance Leipold and the Kansas Jayhawks.
Jalen, tell me about it. You know, what was it that made you say, I want to be a Jayhawk?
To be honest, when I came in there, it just felt like home, like. And they rebuilding everything, and I just wanted to be a part of something they got going on, and they really building something new, and I really want to be part of that, too.
You know, I want to ask you about, you know, obviously Detroit and the area there, Kansas is really building a pipeline. Does that help when you see a lot of guys that you know from the area going to KU?
Yeah, it means a lot to me because I know they have a transfer, so I know nothing's wrong with it. And I know I was talking to them when I was there. They said they real comfortable. All the coaches keep it real with them. I really like that.
And then the guy who's responsible for a lot of that is Chris Simpson. You know, just tell me about your relationship with him and what it's been like being recruited by him.
It was real good. He came in when I was a little younger, and I really liked that. He's been recruiting me for, I'd say, about almost a year now. So I really like that. And, you know, he didn't hop on board just because of the stars and stuff like that. He's seen what I could do, and he started recruiting me. And I really respect that. And he coached one of my coaches. That coach playing softball right now. So he'd be telling me stuff about Coach Chris, and it's all good things.
And then I want to talk about the position coach that obviously helped out too, Jordan Peterson. What was it like getting to know him?
Oh yeah, he's the realest. Yeah, he's the coolest corner coach I ever met in my life.
And then
the coolest, and he kept real with me every time too.
Yeah, and then talk about Isaiah Marshall. You guys came out together.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are teammates. What was it like taking the visit with him and having him, you know, tell you about Kansas?
Yeah, he was recruiting me hard, too, as well as the other coaches. And he was saying, might as well come. I've been playing with him my whole life, so I was like, might as well don't stop.
And then, you know, my last question is, you know, you're highly recruited. You had a lot of offers. To have this decision done, how does it feel?
A lot of weight off my shoulders, I'll tell you that. A lot of stress off, too. I finally picked the school, and I feel like home. I feel like I made the right decision also. So.
That was four-star cornerback and Kansas football commit Jalen Todd, and that'll be it. That'll do it for this edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. You heard from our man John Kirby literally go through the list of every single new commit to the Kansas Jayhawks in the dizzying array of absolute recruiting heat that this staff is putting out on the recruiting trail right now. We talked about what you can look for over the next several weeks with official visits. We have given you everything you need as you head into Father's Day weekend. Speaking of Father's Day, let me wish a special Father's Day, happy Father's Day, to my dad, as well as all the dads out there. John Kirby, I know, John, you're a dad. Happy Father's Day to you and to everybody listening that listens to the Inside Slant podcast. If you know a dad that is also a Kansas football fan, there is no better time to give them a gift subscription to Jayhawk Slant than right now. Tell them there is no better place for fans on the internet than Jayhawk Slant to get the latest on the Kansas football Jayhawks, as well as everything from the transfer portal and the men's basketball program. No better place, no better time than Jayhawk Slant right now. Also, if you've got friends that maybe they're like, I don't know, I've never been a member of a fan site. You know what? Give them a link to the podcast. Give them the first one free. Get them hooked and then pull them in. That's what we're looking for. That's what we need. That will do it. For my man, John Kirby, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We will talk to you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.